Good morning.
It wasn't. None of them were. Okay. Does anybody want me to repeat that? Yes. Okay. Next Sunday morning, it is the Kingsthorpe Methodist Church annual church meeting at the Pastures. That's Sunday, the 6th of February, our annual church meeting, following on from worship. You're invited to bring a meal, a packed lunch with you, and refreshments will be served. And we hope to start the meeting about 12:30 and then finish at approximately 2:30. That's Kingsthorpe Methodist Church's annual church meeting next Sunday after worship at the Pastures. And then next Sunday for the Baptists, a reminder that after the service next Sunday here, after worship, there's going to be a short, very short special church meeting to vote on the details of the charitable incorporated organization. The charitable incorporated organization, a very short meeting for the Baptists after worship here next Sunday morning to vote on this. Now I'll hand over to the locally resourced worship team.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, beneath the halo. Of silence.
And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing.
Let us come together to listen to God's voice, to listen to each other, to speak what is on our hearts, to be held and heard, to find our voices and to hear God's call.
Let us pray. We come to your house for comfort and certainty, Lord. We want to hear words of reassurance. But you are the God who calls us out from our comfort zones. And sometimes we are unsettled by your word to us. Help us to be open this day, we pray, to dare to hear, in order that we may dare to speak as Jesus did when the times demand. Amen. Our first song is God is Here as We His People. There's a short introduction and it starts very quickly. Now, a prayer of adoration. You'll see the response on the screen. Let us pray. God of the hard road, who did not spare his only son, we adore you. Christ of the hard words, who did not spare any of the truth, we adore you. Holy Spirit, who is gentle as we take the hard way, we adore you. Amen.
Are you good, at listening. In a moment, I'm going to invite you all to participate in a little experiment. And we're going to test, or I'm going to test, to see if you can be as quiet as a mouse or as still as a sloth, just for 1 minute. It might feel like a really long time, but I'm going to encourage you to try your best just to be still, and during that minute, listen to any sounds that you can hear. So in a second, I'm going to press a button on my very old phone here that's got a timer on it. And we're going to begin a minute's silence. So you might just want to make sure you're comfortable in the very uncomfortable pews, and so that you're not fidgeting or anything like that. So I'm just going to count to three, and then I'm going to invite you just to take a deep breath and be quiet for a minute and listen. So 1, 2, 3. Thank you, everyone. A minute has gone past. Can anyone tell me what you heard in that minute? You could hear the birds, the projector, ticking, clock. And I personally could hear my heartbeat. I think it's when I come up here, it seems to beat a lot faster. I'm sure it's here at the moment. So my question was, did you hear anything that you wouldn't normally hear? Silence, yeah. And also, I think Lois made a good point. You heard the clock, and perhaps you wouldn't normally hear that with all the busyness. So what stops us from listening or hearing? And conversely, what helps? I know my work is as a counsellor, as some people know, and some people say to me jokingly, oh, it's ever so easy just to sit and listen for 50 minutes. You don't need any training for that. Well, yeah, you can listen to somebody, and I could listen to somebody as well, but I had to have the training so that I could hear and be able to deal with what and help them with whatever it was that they were talking about, whatever problems they had. So today we're going to explore hearing the voice of God and the voices of people who have something important that we need to hear, even when we might not want to listen. So our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. And Jeremiah is one of God's many reluctant speakers.
This is what God said to me.
Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you.
Hold it, Master. Look at me. I don't know anything. I'm only a boy.
Don't say I'm only a boy. I'll tell you where to go, and you'll go there. I'll tell you what to say, and you'll say it. Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there, looking after you.
God, reach out. Touch my mouth.
Look, I've just put my words into your mouth, hand-delivered. See what I've done. I've given you a job to do. Among nations and governments, a red letter day. Your job is to pull up and tear down, take apart and demolish, and then start over again, building and planting. Our next prayer imagines that God and Jeremiah are speaking to each other, and God is speaking to us too. After each short sentence, there's a response on the screen. Let us pray. I've known you forever and ever, says God. I know you're always with me. I know your name. Hello, says God.
I know.
You may be only a child, says God. Whoever, wherever I send you, says God. Don't be afraid of them, says God. I'll put my words into your mouth, says God. Amen. Our next song is, O God, you search me and you know me. Went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath, he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scriptures and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him as he said to them, "This passage of scripture has come true today, as you have heard it being read." They were all well impressed with him and marveled at the eloquent words that he had spoken. They said, "Isn't he the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "I am sure you will quote this proverb to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself.' You will also tell me to do here in my hometown the same things you heard were done in Capernaum. I tell you this," Jesus added, "prophets are never welcomed in their hometown. Listen to me. It is true that there were many widows in Israel during the time of Elijah, where there was no rain for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread throughout the whole land. Yet Elijah was not sent to anyone in Israel, but only to a widow living in Zarephath in the territory of Sidon. And there were many people suffering from a dreaded skin disease who lived in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha. Yet not one of them were healed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with anger. They rose up, dragged Jesus out of town, and took him to the top of the hill on which their town was built. They meant to throw him over the cliff, but he walked through the middle of the crowd and went his way.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
My name's Bob, and this is my good friend,
Rob.
Yeah, Rob. Now, we come here today to try and explain ourselves.
Though, to be honest with you, we don't really feel that we should have to.
No, not at all. Because we were only doing what anybody here would have done, weren't we, Bob? Rob.
We were indeed, Bob.
It started out as any normal Sabbath day.
I love the Sabbath, don't you, Bob?
Indeed I do, Rob. A day of rest. No work to be done.
not that we do much work for the rest of the week, hey, Bob?
That's just maybe. But anyway, we'd made our way to the synagogue.
And I have to say, our interest was higher than normal that morning.
It was. Because Jesus was back and was going to talk to us.
Joseph's lad, gone off to do a spot of itinerant evangelism.
Bit of a local lad made good kind of thing.
And there'd been rumours.
Oh, yes. Plenty of rumours.
About healings and miraculous works in Capernaum.
And we thought, we'll have some of that here, we thought.
Bring it on.
We said.
Though to be honest with you, we could hardly credit it.
No, we could not. Bit of a quiet lad at home. Never made a mark.
But we weren't going to hold that against him.
No, indeed. And he started off really well.
Yeah, a nice reading from Isaiah. Really well read.
It was lovely.
Lovely.
And then he started.
He really did. Going on about how no prophet is recognised in their own country.
And using the stories of Elijah and Elisha to have a go at us.
Well, that was too much.
Who did he think he was?
Questioning our faith.
A jumped up carpenter's son.
Thinking he's better than us.
Putting on airs and graces.
Well, we know where he's come from.
And it ain't nowhere special.
And nobody tells us what to do.
Or has a go at us.
Because if they do,
we're going to have a go at them.
And that's precisely what we did.
We was only going to work him over a bit.
Teach him a bit of a lesson.
A lesson that involved a hill and a push.
But somehow, in the confusion, he escaped.
Got clean away.
Now tell us, you'd have done anything any differently, eh?
Because nobody likes tough words being said.
Nobody likes being criticised.
Especially when you're fine, upstanding, peaceful citizens like us.
My name's Rob, and this is my good friend,
Bob.
In our first reading, we hear God calling Jeremiah to be a prophet, and Jeremiah was not keen. I'm just a boy, he said to God. But to God, that wasn't important. He was willing to guide him, give him the words to say, and promised he would look after him. And then there's that lovely moment when God touches Jeremiah's mouth and says, "Look, I have put my words into your mouth, hand delivered." Many of the words that God gave to Jeremiah were dire warnings of what would happen because Judah had turned to many other gods. Not an easy message to keep on repeating to your families, your friends, your country. It certainly didn't make Jeremiah flavor of the month. Originally a timid creature, and despite God's promises, Jeremiah often struggled. Yet through all he suffered, he remained strong. He was often thrown into prison or tried for his life, being forced to flee. He was publicly humiliated by false prophets and even thrown in a sewer. The powers that be simply did not want to hear his message. He prophesied in the dark last days of Judah's destruction. The country had turned away from God, and all around were the forces of destruction. But through all this, Jeremiah listened to God and trusted him and remained faithful. In Luke, we hear of his home village, of Jesus in his home village. It must have been incredibly exciting for the people there to recognize they had someone so special in their midst. Who is this man? A rabbi? A prophet? The Messiah? Whichever, this small village in Galilee initially received Jesus' words with warmth and grace. Yet almost from the outset, the people raised questions. "Isn't this remarkable young man the son of the carpenter?" Jesus seems quite alert to the way his audience might have mixed reactions to him. He's aware that some will think that he should be able to work the equivalent wonders that have been seen amongst the strangers over in Capernaum. In those days, in a small town, these rivalries mattered. Yet Jesus surprises those with whom he has grown up when he reminds his audience that God's generosity is shown to outsiders rather than to the inside crowd. He reminds them in the time of Elijah, when there was no rain for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread throughout the whole land. Elijah was not to send to anyone in Israel, but to only a widow living in Zarephath in the territory of Sidon. And there were many people suffering from a dreaded skin disease who lived in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha, yet not one of them was healed except Naaman the Syrian. In short, Jesus reminds his hometown that God's grace and generosity is not reserved for those who, whether family, friends or neighbors, think they deserve it. God's grace is risky, perhaps even scandalous. And this is what Jesus discovers when he speaks out and tells this truth to those who think they know him best. It's enough to get him run out of the town. Like Jeremiah before him, Jesus's message is not one his fellow Jews wish to hear. God doesn't just work through those who worship and serve him. He can work for good through anyone. For example, King Cyrus, a Persian who conquered Babylon, it was he who issued a decree allowing Jews the freedom to leave Babylon and return to Judah. And there are many unexpected, unlikely people, many of them young, like Jeremiah, who are getting their voices heard today and causing changes for good to be made. Greta Thunberg, at first striking from school every Friday to raise awareness by publicly protesting against the damage that is being done to the planet that God created. Then moving on from Fridays to speak to world leaders. Her words have attracted lots of young people to the cause and challenged world leaders to stop and think, to act and not just talk. Marcus Rashford, very successful footballer, having the courage to talk about his poverty he experienced in his childhood, despite his mother having multiple jobs, seeking support for children now to receive free school meals, not just through term, but through the school holidays too. Having the courage to challenge government and inspiring thousands to join in a campaign that forced a change. Not quite so recently, Malala Yousafzai, the Pakistani teenager shot for campaigning for all girls to receive an education. Thankfully, she recovered and she still campaigns today. Something is giving these people and others like them the courage and inspiration to speak out, sometimes no matter what the cost. For although there will be many who agree with them, there will be many who do not. And although there may be many who agree with them, agree with what they hear, there will be fewer who want to act on it. Could this be us? And why is that? It's hard for us to speak out about God and what he's saying to us, like it was for Jeremiah. But it can also be hard for us to hear and act on what God is saying to others, through to us, through others. And of course, in the reverse, it isn't just hearing God speaking to us through others. It can be God speaking to others through us. Perhaps we feel we're unlikely people to be used by God. We're not good enough, too young, too old. Bad news, no retirement in Christianity. There are many excuses. When you look at the disciples that Jesus called, they were very ordinary people. Fishermen, tax collector, thief, zealot. So ordinary was good. When we pray, do we include in our prayers listening to God, or do we just keep talking so that he can't get a word in edgeways? I'm going to share with you a little story about a boy called Luke, not Luke who wrote the gospel, and a conversation he had with his mother. Luke was 5 years old. Each day he would daydream on a rocking horse by the window when he should have been getting ready and dressed. He said he was listening to God. His mother encouraged him to keep listening, so it became a habit that he didn't lose. Because lots of grown-ups find it hard to hear God. "Do you mean they talk to God and they don't listen?" he asked, and added, "But that's like cherry knocking." I bet a few of you have done that. Poor God. Cherry knocking was the game children played to annoy grown-ups, knocking at the front door and running away before it was answered. How often are we guilty of cherry knocking at God's door? We bring our needs in prayer, but when God comes to guide us, are we still around to listen? Prayer is as much about listening as it is about speaking, because we are often better at speaking to God than listening to what God has to say. This is an opportunity to put listening first. Do we listen to God? Do we consciously listen for his voice? And when we hear it, do we respond? And if we do respond, Do we respond upon what God is asking of us? Or do we kind of put it aside and hope it goes away? Are we afraid that God might ask us to do something difficult, something outside our comfort zone? Maybe yes. But God can change ordinary people, like Jeremiah, like the disciples, and us, into extraordinary people. Someone once said, God must really like ordinary people. He made so many of them. God equipped Jeremiah for his job, for the work he wanted him to do, and he can equip us too. He will guide us step by step until the task is done. He may be speaking to us, but he may be speaking to others too, encouraging us to work as a group, supporting each other in the task he has for us. Sometimes the tasks he asks us to do can be very simple: acts of kindness, a smile, words of encouragement, a listening ear. Are we ready to listen for his voice and to do his will? He's waiting. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing, Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do.
Father, I place into your hands the things that I can do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go. For I know I always can trust you. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be, for I know I always can trust you. Father, we love to seek your face, we love to hear your voice. Father, we love to sing your praise and in your name rejoice. Father, we love to walk with you and in your presence rest, for we know we always can trust you. Father, I want to be with you and do the things you do. Father, I want to speak the words that you are speaking to. Father, I want to love the ones that you will draw to you, for I know that I am one with you. For I know that I am one with you.
And now our prayers of confession and petition. Let us pray. Lord, we know that many people find your words hard to bear. Open our ears to your message, to its challenge and its demand, even when that message may be hard for us to bear, for us to hear. Many people want to throw you out of their lives, including us sometimes. We do not want to hear you. We do not want to take up our cross and follow you. We fear its weight, we fear its pain, we fear its truth. We like our quiet lives, our cozy churches, our agendas and rotas where we can hide from you. We prefer our own words, words of comfort, words that cry, peace, peace, where there is no peace. We are sorry, Lord, so very sorry. Forgive us.
And so we pray for ourselves, along with all those who reject you. We pray for courage to obey, courage to pray the prayers of a broken world, courage to live like lepers in a world that rejects you, courage to accept your healing for ourselves. Take us to that clifftop, Lord, to the very edge of our faith, to the very edge of our lives. Only then can we discover who you are. And only then will we discover who we are. Amen.
Amen.
And our next song is God's Spirit is in My Heart.
In my heart, He has called me and set me apart. This is what I have to do, what I have to do. He sent me to give the good news to the poor, tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more, tell blind people that they can see, and set the downtrodden free. And God,
As Mary has said, prayer is as much about listening as speaking. And we're often better at speaking to God than listening to what he has to say to us. So the guided reflection that we're going to share with now is an opportunity to put listening first. It's okay to just enjoy the silence. Not everyone will necessarily hear God speak to them. Just trust your imagination wherever that takes you. So today we're going to listen to God in the sound of silence. We need to be still and silent, ready to listen. First, let's be still by letting our eyes gently close, relaxing our muscles, taking a deep breath in, and then slowly out, breathing gently and slowly in and out, in and out. Imagine the sky. Fluffy clouds, so many clouds, gently shifting and inviting you to join them. Imagine that you're flying through the sky away from planet Earth. Are transported onto a cloud hundreds of miles away. You're sitting on a cloud. It feels soft and comfy. You're looking back at Earth. It's like a ball, a globe. You can see the blue patches of sea, the green and brown of the land. Imagine the life that's on the earth, the rustle of the trees, scent of the flowers, the scuttle of the insects, the song of the birds, the soft fur of the cat. Here on the cloud, all is silence. You're looking at the earth, remembering all that is good there, but you're too far away to hear it. Then you hear a quiet voice close to you. It's the voice of God. A gentle, soft voice. A still, small voice of calm. Maybe female, may be male. Perhaps young. Perhaps old. Maybe like no voice you've ever heard before. God asks you to look at the earth. All that is good there, created by God. And all that's bad, especially where spoiled by us. God has a message for you to take back with you. Listen carefully to catch what God is saying to you. It's time to return. Perhaps you want to thank God for the message. Perhaps it's enough just to sit with the silence. God says goodbye, and you're flying back through the clouds to return to earth. You're coming right back here to this place. You're sitting here now. Just notice your breathing again, gently in and out. Then, when you're ready, open your eyes. And we remain seated to sing, "Open Our Eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus."
And now our prayers for others. And again, there is a response. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you, conscious that we live in a very imperfect world, where people do not necessarily speak the truth or act the way they should. We pray for those in situations where it is dangerous to speak out. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for organisations that spread your word, for organisations that offer your healing. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for all those who work in your name in whatever capacity, those who willingly go wherever you send them, those at home who pray. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for those who find you difficult, those who feel threatened by faith, those who find religion ridiculous. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Amen. Now we have our final song, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you.
You are sent in God's name.
We will not be afraid.
You shall speak to nations and kingdoms.
You will plant with joy and build with care.
You are prophets to the nations.
Look on the world with God's eyes.
You shall plant with joy.
In the name of the Lord. Amen.
Happy to leave.